Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And now here's your host of NHSCA Sports Hour, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey, and good evening, high school sports fans. Welcome to the NHSCA Sports Hour for September the 15th. As Corey said, I am Jeff Fisher, the founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 big hours of high school sports talk this evening, as we always do on Thursday nights on the Artist First Radio Network. Once we get wrapped up here, top of the hour at 7 o'clock, go right into football. High School Football America coming your way, so stay tuned for that. And let's take a look at who we have on the show this evening. Of course, if you were with us last week, you know we had a little bit of a problem after talking to Aaron Taylor of Cross Country Nation. We had a couple of runners lined up, and, Ma Bell hopped in and caused some problems, but we got them all worked out, so we've got some good cross-country news for you tonight. We'll start things off with Cammie Chappis of Harvard-Westlake High School, who's a two-time California Division IV girls cross-country champ. We'll then chat with one of the best ever in high school cross country, and when he's all said and done, he may be one of the best ever, ever, ever in the world. Lucas Verbikas, a graduate of Sandberg High School outside of Chicago, who's getting ready for his freshman year at the University of Oregon. And we'll wrap up the show tonight with Byron Jensen, who'll talk about 2 awards touting inspirational high school athletes in football and soccer. So we're going to be talking about the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards in the second half hour of the NHSCA Sports Hour. We want to remind you that voting is now underway for the GTM Sportswear NHSCA Athlete of the Month. We have 6 nominees for the month of September, so you can vote for them by going to nhsca.com just to let you know who they are. We'll talk about the kids as we go through the show. We've got 6 good ones. We've got Allie Ostrander, a cross-country runner from Alaska, from Kenai High School. We have a golfer, Amy Lee, and Amy is from California, Brea Olinda High School. Garrick Dieter, we talked to him last week on High School Football America. He set a national receiving record. He's from South Bend, Washington High School. Another football player up for votes this month, Jimmy Gamble, a football player, and he is out of the state of Ohio. He plays at New Albany High School. And we also have Jonathan Gray, one of the tops in Texas from Aledo High School. He set the state record for touchdowns in Texas. And the final one we have this month is Lance Gaspar, a soccer player from Minnesota. So we'll talk about them and give you some of their accomplishments as we go through the show. And again, just want to check it out a little bit more. You can go to nhsca.com to learn how to vote for your favorite athlete. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some cross country. We're going to talk with one of the best out of California. Her name is Cammie Chappis of Harvard-Westlake High School, and we're going to talk to her when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Home radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning! Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of 5 corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
And now back to NHSCA Sports Hour, and here's your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. Big show for you tonight as we get things started. We're going to bring in Cammie Chappas in just a few minutes here from Harvard Westlake High School to talk some cross country. A little bit later in the show, we will have Lucas Versbikas from Sandberg High School. He's graduated, but he's one of the best ever on the boys' side, undefeated during his high school career. And then on the back end of the show, we're going to talk about a couple of inspirational awards that high school athletes can win, as we're going to talk with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards for football and the Inspirium Awards for soccer. So that's a little bit later in the show. But as promised, we're going to bring in Cammie Chappas. We tried to get her on the show last week, but we got her back this week. She is a two-time defending Division IV California Girls Cross Country Champ. And as you heard Aaron Taylor say last week, the founder of Cross Country Nation, she's one of the best in the country. Right now he has her ranked number two in the nation, as those were the preseason rankings. So Cammie's getting ready to go out for practice and took a little bit of time to talk to us before she goes out there. So welcome to the show, Cammie.
Hi, thank you for that intro. It's great to be on the show.
Well, it's good to talk to you. And last week you didn't hear him, but Aaron Taylor had many wonderful things to say about you and your career, and obviously you're embarking on your senior season. But before we get into kind of the particulars, let's just kind of dial it back. And, you know, we talked last week that cross country is a growing sport at the high school level, and you're part of that. So tell us how you got involved in the sport, and, you know, what age did you get involved?
Well, I started cross country in ninth grade, actually, and I was actually offered to do it in eighth grade, but my elementary school didn't have a team, and I'd be the only one on the team, and I didn't really know what it was. For all I knew, it could have been cross-country skiing. So I started it in ninth grade and just kind of have loved it ever since. So how
does that work then? You get out there, and what addicts you to it? Because, you know, it's not one of those things, a team sport or anything. It's really what you put into it is what you get out of it. So at what point did the flip switch, you know, the switch flip and say, hey, this is a pretty fun sport?
Well, I think, I mean, I have been playing soccer my whole life, and up until my sophomore year, I was always kind of a soccer player mainly who runs. And my sophomore year, I started getting really motivated about running and kind of switched into a runner who also played soccer.
So at what point then, it's just, you know, a conditioning thing at one point. At what point did you really recognize that maybe you had some talent that went beyond just the casual get myself in shape for soccer type of person?
I think really starting after I made the state meet my freshman year, I got 12th for D4, and I remember thinking, well, like, I can do better than this, and being really motivated for the next year, as well as track season, especially my sophomore year. I got really motivated after that season because I knew that I could do better if I maybe kept up a better training schedule during the soccer season.
Now, does it still help your soccer? I mean, you're still playing soccer. We talked a little bit earlier today. You said you're going into your senior season of that. So how do you balance off the two sports? They are very, very different, but obviously there's a lot of moving around in soccer that requires you to be in shape. So how does one help the other, the two sports?
Well, I think they both really complement each other. And, well, my running really helps my soccer playing, and one of the games my coach was just like, all right, well, this game I really just need you to run. So that was obviously helpful, and I think it works the other way around too, because with soccer there's a lot of turning and using completely different muscles than you do with kind of straightforward running. So I think it really helps with injury prevention. Even though it's easier to get injured playing soccer, I think it really works different muscles that helps in running too. So
when you're in the middle of soccer season, are you still putting in the tough regimen as far as on the road and getting your miles in, or do you dial that back? How does that all work for you in your training regimen?
Well, last year was the first year I really decided I was going to train during soccer season, and I have a school schedule that allows me to get out early, around 1, and I would do the workout from 1 to 3 and then go straight to a soccer practice from 3 to 5:30, so it was tough, or else I would run after practice, but I'd always be doing a lot each day.
Okay, well, let's talk about your senior season. You want to go out with a bang. You've won back-to-back state championships. Obviously, would like that three-peat and all that. So tell us a little bit about your approach to this season that will get you to that goal of getting the three-peat.
Well, I am just approaching this season kind of looking to, like you said, like end of the bang, end on a good note. And I think with all the experience that I've had over my high school career, just kind of putting it together and really having fun with this last season is what I'm aiming for. And as far as winning and everything, like, I'm going to be training really hard and going to be really motivated to go as far as I can and run as fast as I can. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, you sound very confident about it, and that's half of the battle right there. We are speaking tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour with Cammie Chappis of Harvard Westlake High School in California. She's a two-time defending Division IV champ there, and talking about going in for that three-peat. What about pressure when you show up at a meet and, you know, a lot of eyes on you, whether it's a dual meet or a big tournament or something like that where you have a lot of different people? What's it like to have all eyes looking upon you, knowing that, hey, this is the girl that's got to be beaten? How do you deal with the pressure of that?
Well, typically, I mean, this year was kind of my breakthrough year. Definitely in cross country last year, though, I had a target on my back, and I think you just have to think about yourself and really run it for yourself, and as well as having your team there really helps. But otherwise, during track this year, I was mostly in the beginning, I was the underdog mostly, so that was kind of nice to kind of surprise people. And I think you have to just deal with the pressure and kind of, you have to use it to your advantage. So
now, I heard you mention your teammates in there, and I read in one of the articles that Aaron Taylor at Cross Country Nation wrote about you that one of your fun parts of the sport is obviously, you know, being with your teammates and motivating them. So tell me a little bit about that, how you act as a leader. What are some of the things you feel that you have as a strength to make what this year could be, aside from individual, a good team year for you guys?
Well, I think the team this year, everybody's so close with each other. Not only are we, like, friends in the sport and in practice, but outside of practice, at school, too. And we only graduated, I think, two girls from the team last year. And so we have an experienced team, and everybody's very motivated this year. So
now, as far as the what you're going to be going through this year and getting ready for college and all that, and the pressure on you and all that, how do you balance the studies? You said you got a good schedule and all that, but how tough is it as being a student athlete at a top school and trying to retain those grades and all that? How do you balance athletics and the classroom?
Well, it's really hard to manage it as time-wise, and I do have, like, a schedule during the day that allows me some free time during the day to get my homework done. But I think, I mean, in the end, I really am a big believer in getting a lot of sleep. So I try to get to sleep as early as I can, even though I know right now with applying to colleges and getting things all figured out, obviously I'll have to do a lot more work right now, and with cross-country training being at its most right now, it's hard, but you just kind of have to manage it.
Yeah, well, it gets you ready for real life of being an adult, so enjoy it while you can. Let's talk a little bit about college. We spoke maybe a couple of hours ago before we started doing this interview, and you said that the focus in college is going to be on the running side of things. So right now, where is your head on that? Are you looking at some specific schools or some looking specifically at you? What are some of the goals once you graduate?
Once I graduate, I'm really looking to... will definitely improve my running And I really want to have a nice balance, though, of running academics and kind of like the social aspect of college life. And I really think that's important so that running doesn't take over. And especially without having soccer in there as kind of a separate sport from running. I'm just looking to keep myself like happy. So.
No, well, that's a good thing. Are you looking at some schools that are you looking to stay out west as far as your college, or do you have any schools that you're specifically looking at and you hope to get into?
I'm looking at a couple West Coast schools and a couple East Coast schools. So I definitely think there's a benefit of each. East Coast, if you really want to go, college is a great time to do it, and it's a different experience. And West Coast is closer to my family, and obviously the weather's great during the entire time.
Well, let's wrap up here with a little bit of a conversation. One of the things that makes cross country so unique is you can truly have national championships. There's only a few sports that can do that, and they're always usually individual, whether it's wrestling or cross country. Cross country does have a national championship, and you know you've got a good shot to take part in them. So, what are your thoughts, I should say, on the sport itself and the health of the self, the health of the sport, and the fact that you can compete on such a national level to truly find out if you are one of the best in the nation?
Wait, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I was just saying, cross country has national championships, and only individual sports can do that in high school. So unlike football, where you can't have a true national championship, you in cross country can compete and be the best in America. And you're going to have a chance possibly to do that. So how do you feel about having national championships on the high school level? Do you like them?
Yeah, I think it really makes the experience all that much greater. And I think especially when you can do it with your team or with friends, you meet tons of new people. And I've met some of like my best friends at these national meets, and it's really like a reward for all the hard work you've done to make it to those. So I think it's really cool that we have that in cross country.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. You go and defend your two championships in California and maybe make a shot at a national championship. I know your coach gave you a little time, so we appreciate you spending time with us. Go out there and run a little bit, because I'm not going to be able to do that for the next hour and a half. I'll be here in front of a microphone.
Okay, well, I will. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, take care, and best of luck this year.
Thank you.
That is Cammie Chappas of Harvard Westlake High School in California. As I mentioned, she is a two-time defending California Division IV girls cross-country champ, and cross-country nation, which is xcnation.com, has her ranked second in the preseason, so go check that out. We will be hearing in the future from Aaron Taylor, who we spoke with last week. He is the co-founder of this great site, and just about everything you need to know about cross-country is on that site. So again, it's xcnation.com. Going to take a break and stay on the lines of cross country, and this time we're going to be talking with one of the best ever in high school boys cross country, and before he's all done, the world may know who this kid is. His name is Lucas Verzbikas. He is from the Chicago area. He's graduated high school and just won something big over in China. We're going to talk about that, as he is a triathlete in addition to a cross-country runner, and getting ready to run at the University of Oregon and try and take his game, so to speak, to the next level, where people say this guy could be the guy that redefines distance running. We're going to talk with Lucas Verzbikas when we come back. You're listening to the National High School Sports Radio Show on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World: the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
And now back to NHSCA.
Thank you very much, Corey. Jeff Fisher back with you on the NHSCA Sports Hour tonight. If you're just tuning in, had a nice little chat with Cammie Chappis, the girls' cross-country runner from Harvard Westlake High School in California. She is a two-time defending California Division IV champ. A little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about a couple of really cool high school awards that are up for grabs that can hand out scholarships to kids. We're going to be talking with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards for football and the Inspirium Soccer Awards, so stay tuned for that. That's coming up in about 20 minutes or so, but right now we're going to stick with the sport of running, and as I mentioned as we went into the break, the young man we're bringing in right now is one of the best ever in high school cross country. He just came back from China where he won a gold medal in the junior triathlon worlds, and you know, to be honest with you, when I get to talking to him here, I don't know if I can get all of the resume in, but with that being said, he's a good one. Lucas Verzbikas of Sandberg High School, a graduate of there, and welcome to the show, Lucas.
Hi, thank you.
Well, we're looking forward to talk to you. We spoke with Aaron Taylor of Cross Country Nation last week, and he waxed eloquently about your career. And like I said, it may be hard to get all of these facts and figures in, so I figured why don't we just start with the most recent, which is, you know, you were over in Beijing, China, and as I mentioned, you just won the gold medal there in the ITU Junior World Championships as a triathlete, and there was some interesting stories with that where you dedicated your gold medal to one of your comrades there. But let's first start with the victory itself and what it meant for you to grab that gold medal over in China.
Oh, I mean, it was the most meaningful win of all my wins. I mean, it might have not have been my biggest win of all time, but definitely the most meaningful to me, just because I was able to do it for someone else. And I mean, anyone could tell you that doing it for someone else means a whole lot more. And just all that I had to go through to do it. I mean, back in April, it was an emotional time when my teammate Kevin got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer, and right in the second, I decided I would come back to the sport of triathlon to win him a gold medal here in Beijing. And a few days later, I'm back in the pool and swimming, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell's wrong with me? I mean, like, what am I doing here? I have to run a sub-4 miles, one of my goals, and break the National High School 2-mile record. So I'm thinking, how am I going to do this if I'm swimming in the pool and biking? But, I mean, I got to thank the most to my coach, who's my father also, that was able to do all this. I mean, he had a plan, devised a plan for me to do all of it, complete it all. And, I mean, I did it flawless, and I achieved all my goals that I had. So, I mean, props to him, because he was able to devise a plan for me so that I was able to start off in triathlon in April and then take time off and then concentrate just on running. And it was just enough so I could achieve my goals of breaking 4 minutes and running sub-8:30 in the 2-mile. And then after that, it was back to triathlon. I mean, I missed a whole lot of time. I missed like almost an entire year by then, so it was rough. It was hard getting back into it, but I mean, he gave me such a good plan, and I executed perfectly, and here we are in Beijing on September 11th, and it all just came together and happened, so very happy.
Yeah.
And then I straight away gave the medal to Kevin. I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, they had all these media outlets, I mean, paying such attention to it. And I mean, it's a good act of sportsmanship. And I mean, it just feels very meaningful, as I said. I mean, doing it for someone else is just really great.
Yeah, I mean, a well of emotions there. You're talking about your friend Kevin McDonald from nearby Geneva, Illinois, and his battle that he's going through. How did that, you know, motivate you? How do you, as an athlete, take, you know, something that, you know, obviously you have a friend that's staring at a very serious situation. You know, how did you internalize that and keep the focus that you need, aside from the fact that you're going through an emotional time with a teammate that's going through something that, you know, it's life or death situation?
You know, it's more of a motivating feeling, in all honesty, at least for me. I mean, just to see what he's going through, and I mean, as an athlete, I mean, at my level, well, being in high school as young as I am, I mean, I'm very self-centered and not kind of think about other people as much. And then when that crisis happened, I mean, I never had any family history or anything with cancer, and to see that something like that could happen and they have to battle it out, I just felt very, selfish in a way, because I wasn't looking out for others as much. So it made me think about others a lot more. And I mean, as I said, doing it for someone else, it just makes it more meaningful and do it a lot better of a job. I feel like you're more concentrated and you have more pressure on you. So it was more motivating for me, more than it was like being scared or anything. Because I mean, all that we could have done is kept really positive, and we all kept positive about it. And actually, the illness went away a lot quicker than expected. I mean, there was never any doubts we had in our minds. We always stayed positive. We always thought he was going to get healthy quickly, and he actually just had his last treatment 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, it all worked out in the end, and that's the great thing.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate your honesty there, saying that, you know, sometimes as a young man, you only think about yourself when you're at that level, and that's very, very rewarding to hear from your mouth that you were able to say that. Now, our listeners, I've read a lot of stories, and I'm not sure all of our listeners know exactly, you know, how you got to this point, so I'd like to share a little bit of that. You came to this country with your mom and your stepfather at the age of 9 from Lithuania, and your mom was a former Lithuanian record holder in the 3,000-meter. So how did you get involved in the sport, or was it just one of those things where mom just said, my kid's going to be a runner?
No, not exactly. I mean, back because my parents, they're both coaches. They're coaches in Lithuania, so not growing up, I mean, I was always exposed to athletics, and the entire time I was there, even when I was a baby, I was track the entire time. So I kind of grew up with the sport, and it was like in my blood having my parents on it and growing up on the track, so I always had it in me. And then coming to this country, I mean, I was never a runner or anything, and I just kind of came here, and then my parents always made sure that I was always doing something and not just wasting my time. So I always like started out playing basketball and did that for a few years, and I mean I was pretty average. I wasn't anything good or anything. So afterwards, my parents said, I mean, well, we're both runners, and I think it's in your blood, so you should try it out. And then we tried out a 5K once, and I had that competitive vibe in me, and I went out with the leaders, and I had no training or anything, and then after 2 miles in the 5K, I really collapsed and walked the last mile into the finish. So it was my harsh introduction to the sport. But after that, it just all started from there. And I mean, they took it. I was lucky to have my parents as, because they took me under their guidance, and I mean, the coaching transferred from transferred from the track back to home, and I was able to be under their guidance the whole time. So they took care of me really well, and I mean, yeah, it was step by step. I mean, at first I didn't really achieve much. I mean, I would lose a lot and never really that good. But I mean, once high school came, I really stepped it up, and I mean, that's when the real hard training began. And I mean, they knew what they were doing, and ever since then, I've been successful.
Yeah, well, you didn't lose at the high school level, and we're talking tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour with Lucas Verzbikas. He's graduated from Sandberg High School outside of Chicago, going on to the University of Oregon. Is there one moment you talked about that you didn't have a great start in the sport? Was there one, you know, meet or one moment in training where the light bulb went on and you kind of said to yourself, wow, I can be pretty darn good in this sport?
Yeah, I mean, just when my freshman year of high school, I mean, I didn't think, like, cross-country running was really as big as it is, and I didn't know it would receive so much attention as it does, and it was surprising to me, so I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So it gave me a lot of pressure to be good, because I was, like, really motivated. I thought, oh, wow, I want to be cool like that, too, and be a good runner. So that was a kind of selfish motivation, but it drove me the whole time. And my freshman year, I mean, after my first few cross-country meets, I was able to dominate as a freshman, and it was something really amazing to me. And I mean, then I got injured and kind of had to cut my cross country season short, but it was right in the beginning of cross country, after winning the first meets, that I thought, okay, I could really be good. So as long as I keep working hard and even harder, I could be one of the best. And yeah, I took it step by step. I mean, it took a while to get there, but I mean patience is the key, and got here eventually.
Now, you know, I'll go through some of the list here. You're a two-time Foot Locker Cross Country National Champion, 09 and 10. You also won the Nike Cross Country Nationals Invitation, 2010. You became the first runner to win both of those in the same year in 2010. You talked about the under 4 mile and all that. When you start, you know, hearing these numbers and these championships and these records, is there one or two that just stand out where you're like, wow, that's the one I'm most proud of? And then beyond that, you know, what's the one you want to knock down?
Well, I mean, for me, I never considered myself a miler. So to run sub 4, I mean, it's not a national record. I didn't run 3:53 as Alan Webb, but I mean, just to have run sub 4, it was a big deal because I consider myself and everyone else really around me a longer, like a 5K kind of guy, 2 mile and such. So to have done the short distance as fast as I did, it was very, very achieving to me, and that's the one that surprised me most.
Okay, and now as far as one of the things I read about you, and Aaron Taylor talked about this last week, it's kind of the way, as you've gotten better in this sport, you've looked at some of the people that have come before you, some of the good ones. The name, you know, Steve Prefontaine comes to mind. So tell me a little bit about that guy. I think I read at some point he's your idol, and if not, you're probably, at least you got his eyeballs, you got your eyeballs on him. So, you know, how do you look up to him, and what are some of the things you think he did to revolutionize the sport and possibly that you can, you know, take to the next level?
Oh, well, I admire his attitude very, very much. I mean, you look at all that he's done outside the track and how he changed his sport. He made it professional and he was a figure in the sport that people look up to. And, I mean, it wasn't so much even just how he performed. He performed the best, of course, but just how he did it in the process and the way he would win and run out front and just, I mean, he was very admired by everyone. He was like a cool runner. You'd say he's like the Usain Bolt of distance running. You'd say everyone really admires the way he was, and I really like try to like adapt to that kind of attitude going into Oregon because, I mean, that's his holy ground. And so we'll see how that goes. But I really admire his attitude, as I said before.
Sure, and as Aaron Taylor of Cross Country Nation said last week, not to put any pressure on you, but you know you could be the guy that takes the sport to that next level. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about pressure. Obviously, as a teenager, you faced it. You faced it when you were in Beijing. You faced it in so many meets because you always have that target there. So what about the pressure of being the guy that may be able to redefine running in America?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's a lot different than most sports because being the best in the nation doesn't mean being the best in the world in the sport. I mean, for most sports, it usually means being the best in the nation, the best in the world. But here, I mean, you look at a region like Africa and such, and you notice that these athletes run even faster, and so there's a level beyond the country. So I can't always get too far ahead of myself because I know that there's bigger and better things out there, so always have to look ahead. And for me, I mean, in terms of domestic races, I mean, racing United States and such, and I try not to think about my competition too much. I try to think, I mean, having, like, self-confidence in myself, and that's been working best for me. I mean, I think of myself as the best runner. I try not to think of anyone else beating me, and I'm sure that's what everyone else's goal is. But I always try not to think about my competition. That's been working for me.
Okay, well, you kind of hinted at it in an earlier answer here about going to the University of Oregon, going to kind of that holy ground for your college career, and you said, we'll see how that works out. Is that self-imposed pressure you're putting on yourself, or do you think when you get there, people are going to definitely say, Prefontaine, Versbeekus?
Well, I mean, I want to have, like, my own name. I don't want to be associated with anyone. I mean, I kind of have that kind of mindset, and I mean, the pressure comes, I feel like, I always say that I use that as a motivator because it drives me. I don't want to disappoint other people what they expect out of me. So, I mean, like, just for me, like, sometimes I like to think of others too much in that kind of way. I mean, for me, sometimes it's a bigger deal to disappoint other people than even myself. So that's the kind of pressure I use to motivate myself.
Let's talk about the Stars and Stripes a little bit as we wrap up. We are talking with Lucas Versbeekus out of Chicago, going to the University of Oregon. I see this one picture as I'm talking to you here with the flag on your on your back after the 9/11 win over in Beijing, Olympics. Let's, you know, kind of get your feeling on what it's like to be an athlete that at one day can perform on the Olympic level. What does that mean to you to think about that, and how are you going to achieve those goals?
Well, as I said, I mean, there's a whole world out there, and I mean, there's athletes certainly better than our country even. So you can't just like look into the competition that I've been achieving here. You have to look at the world. Listen, for me, it's as it always has been, taking a step by step. So eventually getting to that top level in the world, and hopefully, I mean, the goal is to compete with the best, and hopefully even be one of the best. So we'll see. I mean, I think Oregon is the place to do it, and the Olympic Games is the ultimate goal. I mean, it's where it's the pinnacle of I think I actually think it's the pinnacle of any sport, really, that is in the Olympic Games, because, I mean, it's where it was born, and it's the biggest deal, and the traditions, I mean, you can't get that anywhere else.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and I really appreciate you taking the time this evening to talk to me and our listeners and educate them on what's going on in the cross-country field. It is a growing sport. It's one of the healthiest. There was just a study put out saying that next to soccer, cross-country is the biggest, the fastest-growing sport in on the high school level. So I'm sure you've had something to do with that in a small way. So best of luck with the rest of your career.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. That is Lucas Verzbikas, went to Sandberg High School outside of Chicago, heading to the University of Oregon. He truly is one of the best ever, you know, like you heard. Not a miler, but he ran a sub-4 in that. And just last week on Sunday on 9/11 in Beijing, China, he won the gold medal at the Junior Triathlon Worlds. Not his forte, but he was able to go over there and do it, and he did it. Once he won the gold, he gave it to his best friend, Kevin McDonald, from Geneva, Illinois, who just completed his final treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was diagnosed in March, and Lucas just said, hey, I'm going to do this for my friends. So quite a young man there, and just happy to have him on the show tonight. Again, if you want to keep up with the sport and learn more about the sport, go to Cross Country Nation, which is xcnation.com. Aaron Taylor, a new partner with the NHSCA, has done a fabulous job of centralizing the sport for everybody that wants to know about it. He's got national rankings in there for teams and individuals. It's a fun website, so please check that out. Going to take our final break here on the show as far as our guests are concerned. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of awards for high school athletes, one in football and one in soccer. They're both great. It's a way that young men and young women can be put in the running for an award that can result in some scholarship dollars. We're going to talk to Byron Jensen when we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
And now here's your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour, a full 2 hours of high school sports talk, as always, on a Thursday night. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we go all football as we talk high school football America. That's at the top of the hour. I want to thank our earlier guests, Cammie Chappas and Lucas Verbeekus, two of the top cross-country runners in America. And if you missed either of those interviews, please go to theartistfirst.com website and check out the archives. You can listen to them free. Download them all the time you want, free, whenever you want them, to check out those two people. Now we're going to switch our attention. We're going to head out toward Oregon. We heard Lucas Verbeekus is going to be a top runner at the University of Oregon. And we're going out to Bend, Oregon now to talk to Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. Welcome to the show, Byron.
It's great to be here, Jeff.
Yeah, well, we've had you on the show in the past, and we've also had your 2011 Rudy Awards winner on. And let's kind of talk soccer first. We're going to talk some football later on High School Football America. But you've got a new award out that it sounds really great. So why don't we just kick things off with the change between now you have first you had football, and now you've got some soccer. So tell us about the award.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as you mentioned, we've done 2 years of the High School Football Rudy Awards, finding some incredible stories of young kids playing high school football. And this past year, after we finished up our second season, we were all sitting around and saying, you know what, we need to expand this platform, this inspirational platform. And so we decided that soccer was the next best avenue for us to go down. Really excited about kids that are out there, both male and female athletes that are playing high school and club soccer across the country. And the premise is exactly the same as the football awards, in that we're trying to find inspirational kids that are doing amazing things both on and off the field. And it's again, similar in that it's not going to be for the person that scores the most goals or does anything like that, but it's going to be about their inspiration, their character and their courage and their commitment and maybe some life challenges that they've had to overcome. And they're still out there. They're still doing it. They've got every reason to not come to practice or to not suit up, but yet they're still doing it. And we want to help recognize those young men and women and tell their stories.
Well, in the football awards, you talk about your four C's there, the character, the courage, the contribution, and commitment. I'm assuming they're all getting mixed into this batter as well. So if someone out there knows one, whether you're a coach, whether you're a fan, you know, how do you get this person nominated? How does it all work?
Well, it's an all online. So you would go to InspiriumSoccerAwards.com. There from the home page, you would click on the nominate button and just go through the nomination process. Everything's got to be done online. And for anyone that's younger than the age of 18, there's going to be some parent involvement, and they're going to need to approve our participation agreement. And then from there, you're off and running. It's about telling your story, uploading images and getting teachers and friends to write stories about the things that you've had to do or had to overcome and how you're such an inspiration. And if you're, you know, game enough, produce a video. Get a video, put on your individual nominee page, and help share your story with America.
Now, just like you have on the High School Rudy Awards, the Inspiriting Awards have a real good board led by one guy that America should know. So tell us a little bit about the evolution of the award and who's involved and why it is so special because of these people involved.
Sure. Well, we got in contact with our chairman, who's now our chairman. His name is Steve Sampson, and he's the former U.S. men's national team soccer coach, former coach of the L.A. Galaxy of the MLS, and just started brainstorming with him and trying to get to some people within the soccer community that we thought would rally behind this, would want to endorse this and be a part of it. And through his connections and through some of our connections, have put together a selection committee of some pretty notable people in the soccer world, just kind of looking at some people here online. Well, we got a guy, his name is Jurgen Klinsmann. At the time, Jurgen wasn't the men's national team coach, but thankfully for us, and I'm sure for him as well, recently got appointed. And you know, there's just a lot of people on there, whether it be from the AYSO, the chief marketing officer for AYSO. There's a guy on there named Andres Cantor. Maybe don't know him by name, but if you watch a little bit of soccer and you hear the announcer kind of go with the extended goal when somebody scores a goal, that's Andres Cantor. And he loves what we're doing and is really excited to be a part of our program. Jim Thompson, founder and director of the Positive Coaching Alliance. Just a great organization to be in partnership with.
What does this say about sports in general when you're able to get, whether it's on the football awards with the Rudy Awards or your Inspirium Awards, what does it say about people at this level that they're willing to kind of dive into these stories that aren't, like you said, they're not the top goal scorer, they're not the big quarterback and all that? What does it say about the health of sports and the way people feel about it right now?
Well, I think it's kind of a transformation, to be honest with you, and that's the very reason we're doing what we're doing. And to have somebody like that or April Heinrichs, who was on the gold medal winning team, 1984 or 94 gold winning team, and Joe Cummings, the CEO of the National Soccer Coaches Association, I think it's an understanding that there's more to it than just wins and losses. And there's stories to be told of some amazing kids out there. And they resonate with that. And again, maybe they didn't have a career that maybe a Jurgen Klinsmann or a Steve Sampson did, but they all resonate with that young player, male or female, that just has had to endure some tough things in their life, and yet they recognize the value of sport, of contributing, of being a part of a team, and they want to be a part of it. And for us, that's flattering, there's no question, but I think they also recognize that there's something higher and there's something more to than just the wins and the losses.
Talking tonight on the NHSEA Sports Hour with Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards, something new this year. Let's kind of figure out personally what this does for you. You and I have shared a lot of conversations offline about wanting to tell these stories. What puts a smile on your face? Are there one or two stories out there that you've kind of come across where you said, wow, this really is... Noble's maybe a big word, but a great cause to be a part of.
No question about it. Well, I can't speak to the soccer yet. Maybe we get back together here in a couple months. I'm sure I'll be able to share a couple stories of some soccer stories of some kids across the country. But the one that I resonate with that just, you know, makes me think of you know, what an incredible young man this kid is a gentleman named Trey Waite. He was a runner-up from last year's High School Football Rudy Award. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier about having every reason not to be doing things and being successful. And this kid sure has that story, you know, from family tragedies, mom passing away, going to live with grandma. Grandma ends up passing away from cancer. Dad was kind of in and out of the picture and made some bad decisions and was incarcerated and ends up living with his aunt. And this all happened from the ages of 12 to 16. In 4 years, all of these things go down. Well, this kid's playing football and probably not going to be getting a scholarship and playing at the next level. He's 29th in his graduating class at Warren G. Harding High School out there in Ohio. And I just look at this young man and I say from the ages of 12 to 16, and I think about myself when what I was doing at 12 to 16 and having to fight through some of this adversity and these tragedies. And I just shake my head and I'm just in awe of how this young man has led his life in those such formative years and is still able to do what he's doing. It's just incredible to me.
It really is, and I think of the winner last year who we had on the NHSCA Sports Hour, Chance Anthony, born without the lower part of his right arm, and he's from Breckenridge County High School in Kentucky, and just such an eloquent young man. He was a two-way starter. He wasn't just there because he wanted to kind of be on a football team with a uniform. He actually dove into it, and those are the sort of stories that I think really make me smile more than anything. It's wonderful to watch those big games with 43,000 screaming fans in Texas, but it's also good to learn about these. So before we go here, we are going to talk about the Rudy Awards more on the football show on High School Football America, but let's talk a little bit about that. Your new website is up. It looks great. So how do people get involved with that?
Well, you can go to highschoolrudyawards.com, and it's going to be the same process as if you go to the soccer website. Jump around there, take a look at the selection committee. I don't know if you've seen or not, but we'll talk more a little bit about it, some new additions to our selection committee. But in essence, the process is the same. Click on the nominate button, go through the online nomination, and answer a couple of basic questions and get your story up there. And let's have some fun with this thing and see what's out there, because I know there's some incredible kids out there doing some great things, and we sure would love to learn about them.
Yeah, you got the schedule up there. The nominations open up today. Fan voting begins on the 30th of this month, and then close for nominations October 26th. And then the fun begins. You take all of those kids and you try and boil them down. Is it going to be kind of the same deadline for the Inspirium Awards as well?
It is. The timelines are a little bit similar. It's going to be pushed out a little bit more for the soccer awards, and so we're taking nominations as we speak right now, and November 9th is when we're closed for nominations, and then just about a week later on the 17th, we'll announce our top 50. And I tell you, you know, I would love for it to be hard, Jeff. I would love to have 500 nominations and have to whittle that down. Granted, it's going to be a pretty tough process, but would love to see what that's going to look like. And then, again, the process is the same. From the 50, we'll get down to our 12 finalists. And then, thankfully, we can turn it over to our selection committee and have Steve Sampson and Jurgen Klinsmann and all these people cast their vote who they think to be is the most inspirational. And that's when it gets really tough, because at that point, all 12 of the finalists have just such great stories and what they've had to overcome. And it's going to be tough.
Well, you know, it's tough, but I'll tell you what, you need to go on there, folks, and check out some of these videos. I'm looking right now at the High School Rudy Awards .com site, and the story with Chance Anthony is such an inspirational one. When you listen to this kid, you wouldn't think he had a problem in the world, and he really doesn't. He's overcome a lot, having been born without the lower part of his right arm. But Byron, I appreciate you taking the time to talk here about the Inspirium Awards, and we'll have you back in just about 50 minutes on High School Football America to talk a little bit more about the football awards. We can get into the selection committee, because you guys are really, as I said earlier, putting together some class acts that make it really an award that not only helps kids, but they'll be very, very proud of. So look forward to chatting to you in about 50 minutes.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
Yep, thank you, Byron.
Okay.
That is Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. And again, you can go to the websites there, highschoolrudyawards.com. Proud to be a partner with them. Both the NHSCA, the National High School Coaches Association, and High School Football America partnering up to get the story out there. This is something that America has to get behind. Tell those wonderful stories about these wonderful athletes, and you know, nothing more said. These are stories that need to be told. I always use the term, the person's name, Charles Carroll. He did a great job of touring America and telling these wonderful stories, and that's what I think the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Awards are doing for soccer. So check it out and support them hard, and you know, spread the word, basically. Get it out there and get this thing bigger than life. Well, that's going to do it for the NHSCA Sports Hour for tonight. Glad you joined us. Want to thank our guest this evening, Cammy Chappas from Harvard Westlake High School in California. Lucas Verzbikas, who went to Sandberg High School, just graduated, one of the top cross-country runners ever. He was undefeated in high school. He's now going to the University of Oregon. Just won the gold at the junior triathlon in Beijing, and that was just an incredible story. And then thank Byron Jensen of the High School Rudy Awards and the Inspirium Soccer Awards. Byron will be back to talk a little bit more in depth about the football awards. They have just done a great job over the first 2 years, and we really want to try and get this lifted up here and, again, spread that word so more and more people get involved in the nomination process. I want to thank our sponsors tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour: Gatorade's G Series, GTM Sportswear. Don't forget to go to NHSCA.com to vote on the September Athlete of the Month. We've got six nominees up there right now, and they are Allie Ostrander from Kenai High School in Alaska, Amy Lee, she's a golfer, Garrick Dieter, a football player, Jimmy Gamble, a football player, another football player, Jonathan Gray from Texas, and Lance Gaspar, a soccer player from Minnesota. They're all up there. Read their stories, what they've done, and why they've been nominated, and vote for them. See who will be the September Athlete of the Month for GTM Sportswear's Athlete of the Month. We'll have that in October. Other sponsors tonight: the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Growing Great Relationships, MetLife, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Well, that'll do it for tonight's show. Don't go away, though, in about 3 minutes. We're coming back with High School Football America. Lots to talk about tonight. We're talking football from Florida, Kentucky, Kansas, and we're coming back to talk about those High School Rudy Awards. So stay with us. We'll be back in about 3. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.